Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hello, I'm Ruthanna Marte-Theo, and this is Gather Round. Tonight we have Omo Abaya calling in. We're working on the sound for that. Then, Dorit Jacobson is here with Amnon Kabule, who is an Israeli anarchist. And they've got a good section for us. Then we have Gazelle is calling in from Florida and Flash Silverman. So we have activists all over the place for people and for animals. So here we go with Omo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sense of Africa. On air, I'm Asetio. My name is Omo Abiy. Today I'll be telling a short history about the Awuri in Ogun State, southwestern Nigeria. The Awuris are a sub-ethnic group of Yoruba stock, speaking a distinct dialect of the Yoruba language. Traditionally, Awuri are found in two Nigerian states, which are Ogun State and Lagos State. The Awuri people migrated from Ile-Ife and occupied the present-day Lagos State. Post-colonial creation of state and local government influenced the splitting of the homogeneous people into the present Ogun State and Lagos State in southwestern Nigeria. Awuri towns in Ogun State are Ota, Igbesa, Ilobi, and Tibo. The settlement of Awuri proceeded in the establishment of Abeokuta as an Egba kingdom in 1830. Ota, the foremost Awuri town within present day Ogun State, which is also the state's industrial nerve center, for instance, was already in existence in the 15th century. The first crown over at Ota was Oba Akinfewa Ogbolu in 1621. Let me let you understand that Oba means king. King means king is the ruler of the Awuri at that time, but in Yoruba dialect, we call it Oba, which is king. Also, why the first Allah king Abeokuta Sagbawo Okenu, which was also the king of that region, was crowned on the 8th of August, 1854. The Awuri are direct descendants of Olofin, one of the sons of Oduduwa, the father of Yoruba nation as such. In accordance with customs, they brought their crown along with them from Ile-Ife. Traditions are consistent about the presence of a distinct Yoruba subgroup around Lagos. By 1550, when the Benin invaded the region of Lagos, the traditional territory of the Awuri extended from latitude 630 m from the extreme east, and landmass along the coast is over 350,000 hectares, with less than 20% made up of lagoons, creeks, and coastal estuaries. The name Awuri has come to be associated with a dialect group of Yoruba speaking people who have long occupied the southwestern part of the coastal area of Yoruba land in Nigeria. This name, according to oral source, was derived from the legend of a floating ritual dish which Ogun Funmiwale, which in English means the progenitor, allegedly followed from Ile-Ife down to Isere. It was the disappearance of the dish that suggested settlement in the region, as earlier prophesied by the Ifa Oracle. Ifa Oracle is a traditional way of forecasting what will happen in the future in the Yoruba kingdom, which is still in existence in this present day world. The group took this name from Awuri, the pot sink. Awuri, originally the name Awuri in English means a pot sink. They took this name from this group, possesses a distinguished speech, and anthropologist W.J. Womalin, in his intelligence report on the Badagry district of the colony in 1935, gives a graphical description of the early Awuri when he writes that they speak low and slow dialects of the Yoruba language. They mostly engage in farming and fishing. Their lack of vigor and unity seems to have combined with unfavorable nature of their habitat to render them poor, not from the breeding point of view, with exception of those of them within the region of Lagos from the earliest time to date. The Awuris, however, constitute the bulk of indigenous population of 17 out of the 20 local government areas of Lagos State after the year 2003, the only exception being Ekpe, Ikorodu and Ibeju, Lekki, with minimal Awuris inhabitants. In this area, they have developed many kingdoms and chiefdoms. The Awuris could be grouped into two major divisions. These are the early Awuris and the later Awuris group. Among the early Awuris group of settlements are Isheri, Otolofi, Idu, Ibutemeta, Akpa, Ibereko, as well as Ota and Adoodo in Ogun State of Nigeria. A common feature of this settlement is that they were founded before 1500. They also have a related migratory history and recognize Ogun Kuminiri as their progenitor. The later settlements include Ojo, Itire. Because of my time, I'm going to end here. Next week, I promise to complete the stories for you. And any other information you need, please kindly email me. It's nice to know you're out there listening to us. And hope you join us again next week, same time, on Air Matthew. Bye bye.
Here we are with Sheree Jacobson, Eye on Israel.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi.
Tonight we have Amnon Kabuli, who is a singer-songwriter who anti-capitalist, anti-occupation, writes songs that the radio would be afraid to play.
Except one.
So would you like to tell us more about yourself, Amnon?
Okay, I'm write and sing protest songs for Israel. The main problem in Israel that is severe censorship and judge station broadcaster editor, most of them falling to the government and to the capitalists. There is a deliberate policy and they controlled by the capitalists and afraid to express their opinion. They are a messenger of the government. And they're afraid to put a protest song that attack the government, the fucking system, you know.
Sounds very familiar. We have the same problem here.
But I don't believe it's even close to what you got in the United States.
Oh, wow. Yes, I think you are right. I do. I think you are absolutely correct. I'm actually worried about peace activists in Israel right now, or Palestine, both. Same thing to me. So what inspired you to write protest songs? Did you have any certain experiences that moved you, or you just always felt that way?
The reason that that brought me to write songs like, example, Money, Government and the Underworld was the fact that many politicians in Israel have been convicted in the criminal activity, and I had personal experience threats from criminals was sent against me by a cop who bought the entire floor where I was living in a small apartment that I rent, and were interested that I will leave. But it happened in the big city, Tel Aviv, in Israel. And I have more experiences. And all the radio stations in Israel banned my songs and this song and other song of mine, except one great broadcaster with a protest agenda, and he's also an actor, a journalist, and a fighter for justice, named Nathan Zahavi, and Sarit Noem. He's the only one who have the courage to play that song in Israel. And other important protest song, he also composed and performed, I also composed and performed the protest song that he wrote himself against the corrupt politician called Election Rock, about the corrupted election in Israel.
The election is corrupt?
Yeah, even the election, they bought, they buy all the election, they buy it, they take, they have the shelter from criminals, I think.
Oh yeah, if they make the law, they can make any law they want. You say in that
song. The sponsor of them.
In that song, you say something that the laws are funny.
Yeah, in money, government, and underworld.
Yes.
There's a sentence that says, and the law is funny.
That's actually very sad. Yes, and I like that you connect money, government, and underworld. That is why the Occupy movement started all over the world. That's why there is a revolution right now all over the world, because people are finding out that money and government and underworld are connected everywhere.
Yeah, and the protest that was in Israel that started in 2011,
it was
the song,
their slogan.
The song of mine, yeah. The song released in January 2011, and 7 months after the protest start, and all the masses shouted this slogan. But a lot of them didn't know even that I wrote it.
That's kind of great in a way.
Yeah, it because the radio station, except one, didn't play the song.
Yeah, they wouldn't be allowed to. If you ever got famous, you would be the one they tried to kill.
I need to, fortunately, to hope that happens.
That's how it is, I guess. Great song, too. I suggest everyone to check him out on YouTube. They have English subtitles.
Yes.
And it's great rock music, very uplifting, makes me feel happy.
Yeah, I'm putting one in the channel in YouTube with the subtitles in English. For until now, more than 10 songs. 16, I think.
Yeah, we'll put some on our Arab Arte Feel page on Facebook, Anan, and then, you know, we'll put some there, and then people, once they get on YouTube, then they can see where to go to hear more.
I will be glad.
Yeah.
Sounds lovely.
So I wanted to say something else. Censorship, it's not real journalism, it's corruption. And corruption controls the government, local authorities, media, and the power centers. It's actually an underworld. About that issue, I wrote that song. And the problem because you can it's the democration not real, the democracy.
Oh, it's not allowed? It's illegal?
It's fake democracy.
Oh, fake democracy.
Democracy, yeah.
And it's fake. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Very fake. It's capitalism, fascism.
And another song that I wrote about how I felt about Israel, the medals, describing the current situation in Israel, just like it's happening. You feel like in the medals, everybody looks to you like on drugs or crazy.
I love it. This whole world's a madhouse.
That's true.
I feel that Israel is the center.
Yeah, well, for us it is. yeah.
So, you have something... also to say about your music that I love your song, Shame on You, Israel.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I love that. For our listeners who don't know, Sarit is a fantastic musician also. And
yeah, I know.
Yeah, isn't she? And her song, Shame on You, Israel, really kicks ass. So, yeah.
Yeah, for a country that said never again, I'm always surprised at all the atrocities.
Yeah, it doesn't go well
again.
Shocking.
She's very brave.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, some people hate it. Remember when you share it and they report it as offensive?
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
But I have one question while we still have Amit here. I talk with people in Israel who really seem like they are good people, and they don't like the situation, but they don't seem to understand how bad it really is with Palestine. And I would say that you must have a great... propaganda machine like we have here in the United States for people not to really know what's going on. Am I right?
You ask me?
Yes.
What was the question?
If you have a good propaganda machine. Yes, propaganda tova. About
I don't understand exactly the question, okay, but my English is
propaganda
not so...
Propaganda and Hasbara.
What?
Hasbara.
Of the policy of Israel?
Yeah.
I don't think that... everything is so true about that, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of disbelief among the Israelis about what is really happening. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
They can't believe it, you know. They say, no, it couldn't be. We're not that bad.
Right, that's what I found with people who I'm sure are really, really good people. But when I tell them what's happening, they can't. No, they don't believe it. And it's such a small country. For
yes.
It's hard to imagine that they don't know what's going on. But they really don't. A lot of
distort of the truth.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Yeah, yeah, we're working on it over here.
Crawling a lot.
Yeah. But, well, I think that our time is just about up, and so we will post music.
Great.
And people can listen to his wonderful protest and other songs. And it is all subtitled, yes, in English.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was great being there. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. I'm glad that our technical problems got solved this time.
That sounds good. And now we have with us Ghazal from South Florida. She is at www.smashhls.com. Hello, Ghazal.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I am great. Before we start, I wanted to congratulate you. Your daughter was Student of the Month this month.
Yeah, she was. Thank you. we went to her school today for the ceremony. It was really great.
All right. What did she have to do to be Student of the Month anyway? I was wondering.
Well, she's excelling in her school, in her schoolwork, and her, you know, her behavior very well. So every month they pick a student and who meets his criteria, and she was chosen this month. So I'm very proud of her.
Okay. All right. Well, she couldn't have done it without you. So
thanks.
I wanted to just start out by asking, what is Smash HLS?
Our group, South Florida Smash HLS, was formed about 3 years ago, and we are an anti-vivisection protest group. Our mission is to shut down Primate Products, which is a Florida-based company that breeds. They also import primates to be used in the vivisection industry.
Without getting, too graphic or get graphic if you want, would you want to tell our listeners who aren't aware of what this is, what it really entails?
I can briefly talk about that. Vivisection basically means the cutting off of living animals. But now it's kind of become also generally used for a term for all experiments on living animals. And they use any kind of animal. They'll use, you know, from rats to, you know, guinea pigs to dogs to primates. Now, Primate Products is specifically for primates.
Right.
And in a laboratory, you know, animals can be, you know, poisoned, deprived of food, water, sleep. I mean, it goes on and on. You know, they'll be applied with skin eye irritants, subjected to, you know, psychological stress, you know, deliberately infected with diseases, brain damage, burns, paralyzed. I mean, it's really horrible what they do in the name of so-called science.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you know, they'll expose them. I'm sorry, they'll expose them to, you know, radiation, blast wounds, poisonous gas, just all sorts of things, and it's all about money. I mean, vivisection is a $1 billion industry.
Yeah, it is. I mean, sometimes I get so disgusted with humans who, you know, feed into this and actually know what's going on. But everybody should know what's going on. That's
yeah, absolutely.
To really get it stopped. And I know I get angry with people. Well, I feel sorry for them, but people who just tell me, well, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Don't put those pictures up. I don't want to see it. And it's like, you know, they say, well, I know bad things are going on, but I don't want to see it. You know,
right? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say they're stuck so far up their butt that they really don't. I mean, they want to be in denial.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe we have an obligation to stop these moral atrocities, right. And that is why our group was formed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was involved in activism, you know, before, but when we found out about primate products, and they're one of the major primate suppliers in the country, so they're a big deal.
Yeah,
they're a very
big deal. Well, I know you have fans around the world, your organization, so.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that. So that's impressive.
Yeah, definitely. And our style of activism has really brought some major concrete victories for animals. Because, you know, we don't just, you know, blog and, you know, do things like that, which that is also important, but it's also very important to get out there in the streets as well. So while, you know, it's great to, you know, spread information online, but it's also important to, like I said, get out there. And through protesting, you know, emailing, phone calls, and other forms of direct action, we have stopped a total of 5 airlines from shipping primates.
I think that is absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, our first campaign, which was the AmeriJet campaign, it lasted approximately 4 months. We started in October 2010, and we had an official victory in February 2011, so it was about 4 months. And we protested at AmeriJet headquarters for 4 months. It was constant. We went to the homes of the executive, and in 4 months, they sent us a letter and said that they would no longer be shipping non-human primates. And actually, this was directly linked to the campaign on primate products because they were shipping animals for primate products. And
right.
After AmeriJet, we then proceeded to stop 4 other airlines from shipping primates.
I think you guys are doing great work.
Thanks. So we've had a real substantial effect on primate products because these airlines were shipping animals for them to be used in these sadistic, barbaric experiments.
Yeah.
So it's really, really a big deal for what we've done. And also another thing that I just want to point out is that because of what we have done, they're no longer able to get African green monkeys who came from St. Kitts.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a really big deal. So not only do we protest at primate products, not only have we protested in front of AmeriJet, but we will go to the home of these executives because a company is made up of employees, obviously, you know, who make these decisions, and they are going to be held morally accountable for their crimes, I believe,
mm-hmm.
And that's what we are doing.
Oh, well, that's excellent. Have you ever felt that you were in any type of physical danger during any of these protests?
No, I haven't. You know, sometimes, you know, people will get in your face. Sometimes, you know, they will, you know, say things to you. But we are there to represent the animals. We're there to talk about what goes on inside these companies. And, you know, at some protests, we've had 60, 70 people.
Yeah.
So, and there's always video cameras there, and you know, we know our rights and we're there to exercise our constitutionally protected First Amendment rights.
Right. Well, now, besides getting these airlines to stop shipping, you've helped close down some puppy mills, or some pet stores, rather, I believe.
Yes, but that was separate from, you know, South Florida Smash HLS. South Florida Smash HLS is primarily anti-vivisection.
Right.
Now, before I got involved with the group 3 years ago, I was doing, you know, activism on my own, and this was approximately, I would say, 5-6 years ago, and we were protesting at a pet land in Pompano Beach. And after about 6-7 months of protesting, we successfully shut them down. So I'm definitely very proud of that.
So you're used to some successes along the way.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I didn't get to mention, can you hear me?
Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, I'm sorry. I think I lost you.
Yeah, it was a Skype thing or a Blog Talk thingy, one or the other. So I'm sorry because I don't know quite where we were. We were talking about successes. And I wanted to ask how long – now, you are a vegan, and you're raising your daughter that way. And
yes,
what came first, the veganism or the activism?
I actually started out with activism first.
Okay.
I went out to my first circus protest. That's how I got involved with animal rights. And I did some rodeo protests. And probably about a year later, I became vegetarian. I was vegetarian for a few years, and I've been vegan for about 2 years. And I just, when I started reading more about the meat industry, the dairy industry, I knew that for me to go to protest and, you know, not be vegan, I was kind of, you know, contradicting myself.
Right.
So, you know, I am, you know, morally opposed to the use, you know, exploitation, murder of animals. So it only made sense that I started a vegan lifestyle.
Well, have you noticed then that it's pretty much a win-win kind of thing for the planet, for the animals, and for your own health?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, being vegan was one of the best decisions I've made. And, my daughter is vegan, and I explain to her, you know, what happens to farm animals. I show her, you know, the videos to some extent. And I think it's very important that, you know, while we're vegan, we also do our activism. And to continue down that path, I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, yeah, I know most people that I know who are vegetarians or vegans got into it because of ethical reasons to begin.
Right.
And then they found out how much healthier they were. I mean, just how much better they felt. And that seems to carry over into the spiritual realm too. You just feel better in harmony with the world, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And most people, they don't really know what exactly happens in these factory farms and on the way to transport and to slaughter. I highly, highly recommend a documentary that has changed the lives of millions of people. It's called Earthlings. You can watch it at www.earthlings.com. It's about an hour and a half, and it's very powerful. And it goes inside these industries. It goes inside the meat and dairy industry, the fur industry, and other industries that exploit and profit off non-human animals. And it really shows you, you know, it's very raw footage of what happens to these animals. For example, you know, in fact, every year just in the United States alone, 10 billion animals, that doesn't even include fish and animals in the sea are murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in factory farms, you know, chickens have their beaks sliced off with a hot blade. Pigs have their tails chopped off.
Right.
Their teeth removed with pliers. And, you know, male cows and pigs are castrated, all without anesthesia.
Yeah.
And these are all individual animals with feelings. They're sentient. They have families, wants. They feel scared, lonely, happy. They have all the emotions that we possess.
Yeah. I mean, and then you find out, you know, how the families are split up and the babies are taken from their mothers and just on and on. It's horrible. Yeah, I watched one of my dogs one time, his daughter died and he cried. And, you
right.
know, people think I'm imagining it. I'm not imagining it. I don't, you know, I mean, he cried. It was horrible.
Right.
And,
you know.
We hear about, like, our companion animals. When somebody dies, you've heard or seen the pictures of the dog that goes and lays on the grave all day and
yes.
things, you know. But, of course, they're that way with their own. Why wouldn't they be?
Absolutely.
You know, and for us to take part in this torture and murder of our fellow beings, it just
exactly. And in terms of suffering, animals and humans are identical.
Yeah.
We just choose to not acknowledge it, and that is called speciesism. And
yes.
that is what veganism is all about, eradicating, ending speciesism.
Yeah. It's I have a personal question for you. Are you ready? You don't need to answer if you don't want. I mean, it's not real personal, but I'll just say that a lot of vegans I know have decided that they do not date and no way will have a relationship with anyone who isn't vegan. Have you found that? Your friends?
I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years, and I definitely do. I show him the videos. He's aware of the protests. He is not vegan, and I hope one day he will be. I mean, for what it's worth, he has dramatically reduced his use of animal products since I've known him.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he is not yet vegan. But in our household, you know, anything that is in our fridge, we have vegan food.
Right.
If we go out to dinner together, then you know, he orders vegan because we always end up going to vegan restaurants
most
of the time.
That works, right? Yeah,
I'm
surprised to find, somebody told me that there was some kind of a poll that people who eat, you know, SAD, the standard American diet, won't, like a great percentage of them don't want to date vegetarians and they just refuse to date vegans. And I said, I don't think the poll's right. I think it would be the other way around.
Right, yeah, I think it would be the other way around,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that we don't want to date them or be in relationships. So I just thought I'd ask that one. But what are you doing right now? What are you doing? What's Smash doing?
Well, right now we are currently protesting at the home of, well, not at this very moment, but we've had several protests at the home of John Rizzuta. He is the operations manager at Primate Products. He runs that facility. And actually this Sunday, we will be going and having another home protest in his neighborhood. So if anyone's interested and is in South Florida, they're welcome to join. And they can find the event page on Facebook at South Florida Smash HLS. And I hope everyone likes the page and checks out some of the pictures and videos of what we're doing.
Okay,
but
and
that is,
the website is smashhls.com also.
Yes, smashhls.com. And these home protests are highly effective. You know, it puts individual pressure on people who are responsible for these atrocities. And we've already gotten one Primate Products employee who was there for 10 years. We got her to quit after two home protests. So that's a big deal.
Okay.
Also, it just, in case some people don't know why our group is called South Florida Smash HLS, I just thought I would tell you what HLS stands for. HLS is Huntington Life Sciences, and they are the largest contract testing laboratory in Europe. They kill 500 animals a day, 500, you know, from beagles to cats to primates, and they have about 70,000 animals on their site. And these animals are all destined to suffer and die in, you know, sadistic, cruel, needless experiments.
Right.
So Primate Products was at one point selling animals to Huntington Life Sciences, which is one of the most notorious exposed labs in the entire world. So, again, this campaign is a very big deal.
Yeah, it is. You're doing so much. So check you out on Facebook at South Florida, Smash HLS, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then
yes.
The website. So thank
yes.
you so much. Thanks so
thank
much
you very much for having me on.
Hope you'll come back.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Ah, okay. Here we go. Okay, I thought, oh my goodness, wrong caller dropped. What did we do here? So now, we're sticking with the animals tonight. Hello, Flash.
Hello, Roseanne.
This is Flash Silvermoon, and she's going to talk with us about the wild horse slaughter in the West. And do you want to just start out with what's been going on? I mean, a lot of people
yeah,
heard about they may be eating horse meat, but they really don't understand what it's all about.
Oh, it is crazy as hell and horrible and horrifying. And it's not anything that the people of this country really want. The what is happening is basically, Bureau of Land Mismanagement, is supposed to be in charge of the wild horses. They're supposed to be in charge of good, responsible land use. And what we have going on are the oil companies, the cattle companies, and all the people that get something, some money, out of the land not being used for the public and
right.
instead being used for the corporations and the cattle lobby.
Yeah.
And probably some other things, too. None of them good. I believe we've got a new Secretary of the Interior. I think her name is Sally Jewell. I doubt that she's a Jewell. And she is selling herself as being for the earth and supposedly being someone who cares about protecting the earth, but she's in bed with the cattle ranchers and the oil companies and the frackers. So you can imagine what that means still for the wild horses, who are a symbol of this country. And forget whatever they're a symbol of, they're these beautiful animals that are alive and thriving when they're allowed to
right.
in the West. They're not hurting anybody, and the people love them. And granted, any time you have herds of animals of any type, you want to do some kind of management so that it doesn't get out of control. And so some forms of birth control and neutering some animals and moving some around would be the ways that one could adequately do it, and cheaper.
Right.
Cheaper
right.
for the tax people.
Right.
So that's, you know, just some details. But instead of that, what you have is BLM, Bureau of Land Mismanagement, allocates 92% of forage on public lands in the Carson City District to livestock, while just 8% is allocated to the wild horses.
Right, and there's no way that anybody can say that that isn't money talking.
Oh, of course.
You know, if anybody thinks that, they have been too long smoking
yeah.
the wax stuff.
You know, they've been in the dung yeah. heap too long.
Yeah. No, that's... But now, I believe that there is... Well, I know there's been different petitions and different things going on. You want to talk to us about that? What can we do right now, Flash?
Yeah. One of the best links that you can go on Facebook is American Wild Horse Preservation Campaign.
Okay.
And they give you all the news. Whatever's up, they're covering it. And there's a lot of different states that have issues that are popping up now for votes. Fortunately, there was a victory in Nevada for a small herd that the public really loved and wanted to keep. And the BLM folks were saying, they're just too much trouble. Well, the public won. And some good people who donated some land, like 2,000 some odd acres, to this little herd. And so the public won. Yeah. And so in each place where there's news, where there's battles to be fought, it behooves the public to jump up and make it inconvenient, make it not profitable. These are all things that we can do, find ways to be a nuisance, find ways to just make it too expensive to do their dirty work.
Right.
You know, anything that's kept quiet can just go their way.
Yeah.
And most people, that's why I'm on and I'm just going crazy on this subject, because most people don't know. And if they knew, they'd want it different. And if there was a way to make it different, they would. In Wyoming, the court is approving a BLM plan to wipe out all the wild horses in Wyoming.
I thought it was a certain area.
Well, there's
something.
Yeah, Rock Springs Grazing Association are wanting to wipe out the wild free roaming horses from the Wyoming checkerboard, a 2 million acre swath of public and private land, southern part of the state. And the consent decree was vigorously opposed by animal groups, and they had successfully filed to intervene in the case with the Cloud Foundation, that's another good horse group.
Okay.
After the stallion Cloud, it's under his name. And the International Society for the Preservation of Mustangs and Burros. So there's a load of groups that congregated to try to change this, but the court apparently is approving their plan to wipe out that group.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a whole lot of money lining a whole lot of pockets, because isn't it horrible they're putting horses in concentration camps? Because that's what they do. They round them up with helicopters. And
yeah.
If you die, oh, well, you know, because they do it so brutally.
Right, because, well, that scares them to death in the first
place. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And the ones that survive are put into horse concentration camps. And the end game for this is that this is in collusion with the whole slaughter business. And fortunately, a group called the Animals Angels have been super. They broke the whole story about horse meat in Britain and in Europe. Now, some people over there eat it and want it. Most people don't. And most people who are buying a burger at Burger King in London think they're eating beef, and they're not. It may be part beef and part horse.
For me personally, I mean, I see no difference, because cows are animals with feelings and
right.
babies that are stolen from them and everything. And
yeah.
back when I was younger and stupid and ate meat, I did eat horse meat. I think I only had horse once and buffalo once, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, I know people, meat eaters are funny about how they want this kind but not that kind, on and
right.
on. And I just say, you know, just stop this torture and murder of everybody. It's horrible. But I wanted to get a couple thoughts about you, because you are an animal communicator.
Yes.
And many people don't really know what that is, except I don't have TV, so I don't know. There was some kind of a horse whisperer.
Well, yeah, there was a pet psychic some years ago, and actually, I've worked at some of the places she did over at Jungle Friends. It's a primate sanctuary, like about an hour from my house.
Right.
And I'm very fortunate. There's a lot of places where I can share my time with monkeys, with tigers, lions, bears, horses, donkeys. I mean, there's lots for me to do here.
Oh.
And she had been on the air, and she had gone over there to work. And apparently she was very irregular. Sometimes she got it, sometimes she didn't.
Mm.
And, of course, you know, with editing on TV, you can look like a star and you get it 100%. Because, you know, you get on and you do it, and they only take the good clips.
Right,
but,
exactly.
But, fortunately, according to Carrie, who is super, you would love Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working with her next week because, you know, Justin Bieber had his monkey taken away from him.
Oh.
And we're getting a whole bunch of people activated so that his monkey doesn't go back to him but goes to Jungle Friends.
Oh, okay.
So that's the next issue on my plate. You know, like, what is done to the animals in this country, in this world, is heinous.
Oh, it just is. There's no words, really, for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, take your pick. Right now we're talking about wild horses. And, you know, whether you think beef's okay, whether you think beef is not, whatever's done to any of these animals is not right.
No. No, we just had Gazelle there from South Florida, who is working with Smash HLS, and they're against vivisection. And they've actually gotten five different airlines to quit carrying primates to these labs. And
oh, goodness, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's any kind of animal, they've got their torture stories.
Yes, they do. And I work with the primates that have been in these labs. And it's real interesting. I mean, it's amazing. Like the Iron Men over there at Jungle Friends, they had been 20 years locked up in these iron experiments. That's why they call them Iron Men. And, you know, I saw them maybe 2 weeks after they were brought there. And these poor monkeys, the only thing they knew from a human was pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, I couldn't have gotten near all of them, but one of them, Don Knotts, really, really took a shine to me. And I brought him, you know, some flower essences that I work with and some of the gem elixirs I make. And everybody was just amazed. He came over, and he was really sweet and receptive. And, you know, a lot with some of these animals, even though the most horrible things have happened when a good person approaches them, they read that, they get that.
Right, because they have a sweet nature still.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it gives me great pleasure to be able to bring something good to them.
Yeah.
It's very rewarding. And just as it is frustrating how seemingly little I can do for the wild horses, except to yell and scream and talk and keep it in front of people.
Yeah, well, that's a lot, though. I mean, that's a lot because, like you said, a lot of people, well, there are people who just think, well, whatever, it's going to happen, and they really don't have feelings, it doesn't matter. But then there's the people who think, well, I really can't do anything. And there's people that don't want to know because they, somewhere in their brain, they understand that once they know, they're responsible.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
If I don't look at it, I don't have to do anything about it.
Exactly, right. And so, you know, there's people at all these different stages that we're trying to reach.
Yeah.
And we just never know what's going to be that one sentence or that one link online or that one movie, something that's just going to have them throw their hands up and say, okay, you know, I'm doing something
now. Speaking about movies, NBC made a beautiful film. It's been supposed to be shown. And it's called Wild But Not Free. And it's supposed to be NBC Today Show. It's supposed to be last week, but it wasn't. It got rescheduled maybe this week. So Carole King is involved with that also. There's a lot of people that are starting to speak out about the wild horses that have some clout, and that's going to be what it takes. It's
yes.
going to take people
yes.
getting into the faces of the money men and saying, you can't do this on our watch, and we're going to yell and scream so loud to make you look ugly as you are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they are plenty ugly.
Yeah, they're plenty ugly. I'll give you some other groups that people can get in touch with and sign petitions, because they'll be coming out with them every day. The Cloud Foundation is one. Also, International Society for Protection of Mustangs and Burros. And as I told you before, the group Animals Angels is another wonderful group. And they're a watchdog group, and they're the ones that go to the BLM lands and see, okay, you know, who's where they're supposed to be, how many are supposed to be here, why aren't they all here, et cetera. They go to the slaughterhouses, and they see how humane or inhumane is this, and are there any BLM horses in the slaughterhouses, because they're not supposed to be there.
Right.
And yet they are being stolen. They're being brought to Mexico. But now Mexico is standing up against horse slaughter.
Wow.
Yeah. And this
wow.
is the whole thing that, again, the Animals Angels broke that story. And it was the first time Mexico had a big meeting and went on TV and said, this is not what we like. This is not what's going to happen here. We're going to stop this. Oklahoma just allowed the killing. Wyoming is trying its hardest. And, you know, plenty of other states, it's starting to look like it might be open season on horses again. And, you know, before it gets into full flame, we need to stop it in its
right.
tracks everywhere
right.
we can.
Right. It's easier to stop it before it gets, like you said,
that's
into
right.
flame. I agree. So I'm going to say, like, you can find Flash at flashsilvermoon.com, and then also all of these different organizations. And you said that the American Wild Horse Preservation Campaign, if you go there on Facebook, they
mm-hmm.
have all kinds of petitions and news.
Yeah, they keep you up to date on Facebook or just on their website as well.
Okay.
And I've got all kinds of stuff on my Facebook page, Flash Silvermoon, and also on my website, flashsilvermoon.com. You know, other than going into some of these rescue sanctuaries, I also work privately with people either on the phone, or if you're far away from North Central Florida, you can call me up and we can work over the phone. If you're near me, you can come to my house.
Right. You can load up your animal.
Yep.
And
come over.
And her animals.
yeah. And, you know, it really does my heart a lot of good to be able to do something, to actually be able to make a difference. And there's no real news about Abby Condor's horses in Ocala, that situation where they were being raped.
Right. Yeah.
I was able to do a whole lot for those horses.
Right. So
with my means.
Good, I mean, it's good that there hasn't been anything. I mean, we really don't expect the police to find the guy, okay?
Nope.
But
nope.
But
I did do a binding on him.
Hmm.
And he has not been seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the horses are doing good, so that's the important thing. So, Flash, thank you so much for coming.
You're
on.
You're very welcome.
I love to have you. And you have a good, I was going to say weekend. It's almost weekend.
Yeah, and it's a good new moon tonight.
Yes, yes.
Except it's been kind of screwy.
Oh, yeah, yesterday and today have been very strange for me, but
mm-hmm.
we have an overcast here, so I'm not going to see her. Maybe early in the morning it'll clear. I love to see. Yeah.
It's also a void of course moon. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and that means nothing really gets done or doesn't get done very easily.
Right. So, oh, well.
So we got excuses.
We'll just have a nice evening anyway.
You too.
Yes.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back next Wednesday with BDSM. But before that, we have Blaine talking about Palestine. Good night, everybody.